Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Wisconsin's haunted theaters. Wisconsin is famous for many things. Beer, cheese, football, Great Lakes. What about ghosts? What about the spirits of generations gone by that still linger around this vast plot of northern land? Specifically, the theaters of Wisconsin. For more than 100 years, many towns and cities have held onto their historic theaters through good times and bad. Some have aged better than others. Some have been repurposed. Some still brimming with life. Afterlife. Today, we talk with paranormal investigator Michael Brown and Todd Deering about Wisconsin's haunted theaters. We start with my personal friend, Todd Deering. Todd, tell us how your fascination began with the paranormal.
Well, I think, and I might be wrong with this, but I think my story is probably a lot like a lot of people. You're young and you start seeing scary stuff in movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's really cool. And then you spend your time not being able to sleep at night because you're so scared about it. But mine really started back. I think Amityville Horror was the first time that I went, wow, can this be real? I mean, you think about haunted houses and you think about ghosts and all that stuff growing up, but you see something like that and you see people investigating. And then you read the stories and you read the book and you go, this is crazy. So I think that was really where it started for me. So there was always an interest. Mm-hmm. But I think I didn't get into maybe doing some investigating of my own until I realized that other people were doing it. So it took people like ghost hunters and ghost adventurers and people like that to come out of the woodwork, be on television, and make me realize, hey, this is something that I could actually get into. And not necessarily do it as a profession, but do it because I had an interest in it.
Did you ever have any experiences when you were a child, when you were watching Amityville Horror or reading the book and discovering you had an interest in the topic that were paranormal for you personally beyond just, wow, that's really spooky, this material that I'm consuming?
You know, to the everyday person, like, did I see things move or did I hear voices and stuff like that? No. The weird stuff that always happened to me seemed to happen in my dreams. And so as a younger person, you disregard those. You say, well, that's just a dream, because you watch things like Amityville Horror, you watched other movies, et cetera. But the further you get into looking into paranormal and talking to people and learning that, listen, there's stuff going on us, going around us all the time that we just don't know anything about. We don't even realize it's there. Dreams and feelings and emotions and all that kind of stuff. So I can say that until I really started investigating and opened my mind and really started doing research of my own into paranormal and things of that nature, I never noticed anything that actually happened to me. I would have bet that my grandmother's house was haunted, but I didn't have any kind of proof to say that that was the case.
With the dreams that you had as a kid that were, you know, scary, terrifying, you know, that made you get up and go, what the hell was that? As an adult in all these years now, looking back on those experiences that you had, those dreams that you had, do you think anything that you were experiencing in those dreams was attributed truly to something paranormal, or was it just an imagination that was running wild with all the things that you were consuming?
People may think I'm odd, including your other guest on the show today. Tony, you might think I'm odd too. You actually know some of the dreams I had that I'm talking about. I think there may have been a link to something. I think there may have been a link to either another plane of existence or receiving feelings and emotions from other people. I remember one of the dreams I had, and I may have told you this story many years ago, Tony, was I had a dream that my grandfather died. And right after that, like literally weeks after I had that dream, he did pass away. Mm-hmm. And so my realization in the dream that he had passed away was not that grandfather had died, but there was an extra cross on the wall in my mother's bedroom where she kept the one from my grandmother's death. And I could never understand in the dream why there were two. And then weeks later, my grandfather dies. So that was the kind of realization to the that maybe there is something there. I'm not saying that there is. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I necessarily believe in all that. But it does open your mind and make you think, listen, there's a lot of stuff we just don't understand.
There was, it seems, some sort of a connection there that there's too many things pointing to it to go, that seems almost more than just a coincidence. Right. I would say one of the, I like to share this story. It's probably one of the creepiest nights I can remember in my life. It was you and me going to, and maybe I've embellished it over the years. I don't know. So if I'm embellishing this, I've wanted to share this story on the air with you because I want to get your take on it and see what you remember. This right. was 20 some years ago. We were going, we had a difficulty finding a place that we were supposed to be DJing a wedding at. Sure. It was somewhere in Wisconsin that was at least an hour outside of where we lived. And we got out there. I believe we almost gave up trying to find it. This is pre-GPS. This is all that. And we were going in the middle of nowhere. Eventually, from what I remember, in the middle of the woods, I believe it was inside of a trailer park, isolated by itself.
It was.
Yeah. And then there was like this... this hall that was inside of the trailer park. And I remember going into this hall, and it had this weird... eerie feeling of almost being in a different place in time. And we got set up and we were playing the music, and I just remember the people feeling kind of off, and it felt very odd. The inside and you know, Wisconsin, a lot of halls and supper clubs, no matter what, will feel like it's 1962, no matter right. what, but it really truly felt like it was that place in time. And I remember going to the bar and asking for a soda, and I got like a bottle of Coke, and they didn't bottles of Coke were not around in 1998 as they are today. There was a point in time where that was all discontinued and everything was plastic or gone. And it was like that struck me as very strange. And I don't know. I look back on that night and I'm probably just projecting more than what was really there. But there's almost kind of a feeling of a time slip that night when we were there. But I remember on the way back too, you sharing some of those dreams with me. And we talked about Salem's Lot and all sorts of very creepy things. It was a lovely evening. I have very fond memories of it.
Yeah, my memories have not stuck with me over the years. But I do remember that night very, very well. And the feeling of getting there was either we're walking into a mass murder situation and we're just not going to come out of this, or we're going to be stuck back in 1965 and they'll find our lifeless body someplace in the cornfield. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's how it felt. It was very odd. I'm not alone in recalling this feeling, like there, not just because of the setting, but it did feel off. There was something yeah. very odd about that place.
Definitely.
Where was that? Do you know the town it was? I don't even know.
No, I don't, but you were exactly right. It was in like a trailer park and in the middle of nowhere, and there was a hall there. It's like all the trailer park people partied at yeah. this hall or something like that, you know?
It was so, it was unlike anything I've seen or come across since. It was just this little thing unto itself. Maybe it was a cult. I don't know.
I think you should write a story about it, though.
Yeah, it was very, very bizarre. Well, anyway, continuing on, Michael Brown and Todd Deering with us on today's episode. And Todd, obviously here a part of the Haunted State Theater of Shadows documentary, available on Amazon Prime. Michael Brown, the creator and producer of it. Let's talk, Michael, about Theater of Shadows. We talked, obviously, about Haunted State on the last episode that you had joined us on, about the state of Wisconsin, its various haunted locations. And then you made the decision to focus solely on theaters for this second documentary. How did that decision come about?
Well, I just feel like every time you go into a theater, I mean, whether or not you believe in this stuff, you get a feeling. I mean, and the feeling's different for everyone. But for me, I always wondered, you know, what's actually going on here? It's like a eerie feeling. And there's a little bit of a debate between the four of us here on the Haunted State, the docuseries, the four of us that film, about empaths. And, you know, Anne and I are empaths, and Todd a little bit is, but then Angela isn't. And it's like feeling things, either from the past or from people that you're around. And every time I'd walk into a theater, I would get a feeling. So I just thought, visually, and as a filmmaker, that this would look amazing to go in and film and talk about the history, because most of these theaters are, you know, many generations old, and, you know, most people alive today did not know the stories of these theaters. And it's one of those things where I think, when we talk to people about it, especially, they get really excited, especially if they're from the Midwest or Wisconsin, or they have been to any of these locations. And I just thought it was a nice little niche of a story that just had to be told, and I wanted us to be the ones to tell it.
Growing up and knowing this state and all the different theaters that it holds, it seems almost every town, and this is true of many places of the country, they have their grand theaters, their theaters that were at one time playhouses, sometimes then converted into movie theaters, briefly being porn houses for short periods of time, and then whatever they may be today. Was there ever or is there a theater for you that you grew up around or that you look at as, this is one that I really want to investigate because it's always had a haunting element to it?
For me, it was the Pabst Theater and the Riverside Theater. Growing up in Milwaukee, you spend a lot of time at both of them. And just for me to be able to be in those buildings with nobody else in there, alone with their film crew, I mean, it was really actually special for me. But I would say, and actually I'm going to bring Todd in on this, Todd didn't get to go to the Pabst Theater, but the Riverside Theater for me, that was the really, really big one, because there's still huge shows at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. It's one of the, you know, the go-to venues when bands and comedians are coming through town. And I have to say, I think if we had spent any more time at that location without giving anything away, I think we could have been in trouble. Todd, what do you think?
I would think so. I mean, just the name of the theater tells you a little bit about it. Riverside, it literally is right next to the river. And because of that, there's a lot of water leakage and movement in the basement of that theater. And there's a lot of thought process when it comes to paranormal, that nature and water and all that kind of stuff can fuel things happening. And I think the night started off light, and then it got very heavy toward the end. And as Michael said, I think if we would have spent any more time there, it could have been a bad situation for all of us.
Yeah, there was a situation where I was with one of our former castmates, and we were up in the theater projector room, and we had been there maybe at this point, I'd say maybe 90 minutes, and we really hadn't had much happen. And I'm an investigator, but I'm also the director and producer of this, so I've got a lot of weight on my shoulders, and instead of me just focusing on what I'm supposed to be doing, sometimes I will start to stress out about everything. And I'm up there, and all of a sudden we have a voice yell, like growl at me, and I heard it. It was a disembodied growl. And from my previous experience, and I talked about that on the earlier episode with Tony, where I was at the First Ward Schoolhouse, where I had something follow me home, I learned that I immediately need to be aggressive and very verbally aggressive, and I was. And when I came downstairs, the girl who was there, I can't remember her name, Todd, but remember the girl from the Riverside Theater that was to kind of follow us around? She looked like she might have wet her pants. She was scared. Like, she had this look of terror on her face. And I was just like, oh, we get that all the time, you know. And I had to explain to her that it was okay, you know. But that moment, I think for me, is the one that really started the whole downward spiral of all the negative energy. We'll call it negative energy. It was temporary negative energy, but I definitely felt like that place, it was negative in the sense that it did not want us there. like whatever was there, and it was multiple entities. It was not just the one. They were not thrilled we were there.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.